With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Starts at week 16. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and with me, as always, every Thursday, for Start Sit, it's Andrew Erickson, Mr. BPE himself, Big Pod Energy, Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros, Fantasy Pro, and of course, it's you, and I know the holidays are right around the corner, so happy holidays to all of you, and a happy new year, and hopefully we're holding up some fantasy gold, but we got to get there first. Round two of the playoffs is here, so this is the second most important start-sit show of the year. That's right, so we're going to break it all down for you here as we always do. Don't forget to subscribe to Fantasy Pros on the YouTube channel. It's always a good thing to do, and of course, make sure you leave a nice review wherever you get the pod. Let's kick things off here at running back because there's a lot of moving parts here. We had some major injuries this week, including Jonathan Taylor out, so if you were still relevant and you somehow made it through last week, well, God bless you. The fantasy gods are smiling on you. But we got to talk about this because we need some other RBs to possibly get in these lineups. D-Bro, you're the RB whisperer. Who are some guys you want to start in week 16 of the NFL?
Start or sit?
Well, I know Erickson's ears are going to perk up when I say this name. Devin Singletary. ECR has got him at RB 28. He is probably going to sneak his way inside of my top 24 running backs for the week. And this all comes down to matchup, guys. As well as since week 11, Devin Singletary still owns this backfield. He's averaging almost 15 touches and 70 total yards per game. The Chicago Bears, we know at this point of the season, they cannot stop running backs. You're looking at a defense that is 20th in rush success rate, 26th in EPA per rush, and bottom 10 in explosive run rate allowed. So while I have not been high on Singletary for most of the season, this is a fantastic matchup. It's getting colder outside, and I think that with also Josh Allen popping up on the injury report this week, we could see a lot of Singletary here.
All right, what's fascinating here, and you make a great point against the Bears and all, but back-to-back weeks of, you know, single-digit half PPR points with Josh Allen running the football and James Cook around too, and even Naeem Hines actually getting into the act the other day in the offense for the first time the other night. Would you start him over somebody like, looking at some of the other names around here, somebody like Jamal Williams, who's been very steady all year, but a player that is super touchdown dependent?
I would start him over Jamal Williams because I almost put DeAndre Swift's name on this show sheet because, fellas, what happened the last time we saw DeAndre Swift not on the injury report? I.e., he's not on the injury report this week. DeAndre Swift came in balled out. So, yes, I am much lower on Jamal Williams because I think it's going to be Swift week.
Okay, good. I like that because I have to choose between Swift and Singletary. So that's good.
No, so we're just making out Joey P's lineup here. I didn't know. Well, sorry.
I mean, we're here to serve the people, and I'm a person. Last time I checked. All right, let's get to the next guy on the list here. Somebody we talked about a lot on Monday's show, and now it's time to put him in our lineups, we think. Also, he's got a new quarterback, and it's Nick Foles. Yay. All right, what are your thoughts on Zach Moss this week, D-Bro?
I know it's a gross name, but look, we've arrived here. We're in the fantasy playoffs, and I just saw a running back float to the waiver wire that got over 20 touches last week and was the early down grinder. And now he gets to face one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. Yeah, Zach Moss is going to be inside my top 30 running backs. I've got him at RB26 right now. ECR has him as a mid RB3. And I understand that, okay, Jordan Wilkins possibly factors into this backfield this week. I understand that the Colts were winning a ton in last week's game, and they're trying to salt the clock away. This is still a Jeff Saturday team. We know they're going to run the ball. Do we think that Nick Foles, who was not good the last time we saw him as an NFL starter, is going to magically come in here and they're going to become a pass-happy offense? That's not going to happen. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to try to eat out the clock against the Chargers. That's all what's going to happen. They're going to sit here and try to just chomp that clock away and walk away with an ugly win here. And if that's the case, Zach Moss is in a fantastic matchup, and he's a running back that could get 20 plus touches. And so, I mean, that screams if he gets into the end zone, guys. Even if he's not efficient, we love volume. If he gets into the end zone, he's a top 24 running back for the week.
All right. And the number three running back you want to start this week in the NFL is?
Jerick McKinnon. He is, and I bring him up, and I understand that in ECR, he's a top 20 running back. I have slid him all the way up to RB1 range, and this comes down to what else do we need to see out of Jerick McKinnon to put him up in this territory? Like, the last 2 weeks versus Isaiah Pacheco, this man has 18 targets. He has garnered most of the red zone work, and now we're talking about he faces a Seattle run defense that has been legendarily bad, not only versus running backs, but running backs in the passing game. So McKinnon, we've seen numerous weeks, and we always talk about, okay, we love the pass game involvement for running backs. He has got, look at his ledger. He's got multiple weeks, and not even just the last two, with 8 or more targets on the season. Yeah, McKinnon has got to be an RB1 for me.
What's fascinating about McKinnon, besides the touchdowns the last 2 weeks, he's got nearly 60 half PPR points, but he's got more targets than carries. 16 carries over those 2 weeks. He's got 17 targets. Erickson, has the worm turned officially in this backfield? Is it Jerick McKinnon the guy you want? Is Isaiah Pacheco still somebody you can start? What are your thoughts on the KC backfield in week 16 against Seattle?
Well, I mean, over the last 3 weeks, Jerick McKinnon has played more snaps than Isaiah Pacheco. So he has been the guy that they've been leaning on more. And this is not really shocking based on what we saw last year. The Chiefs did the exact same thing. They gave Jerick McKinnon the ball way more at the end of last year, and they're doing it again. So the fact that Pacheco fumbled last week and they gave Ronald Jones a drive is concerning. I know they went back to Pacheco, but he's definitely the fringier of the two running backs. Obviously, he benefits from the same positive matchup as Jerick McKinnon, but his upside just isn't nearly as high because he's limited to early downs and, you know, he's not seeing as much pass game work. He's not seeing the red zone usage like McKinnon is. And McKinnon, the targets date back to week 10. He's second on the team in targets and receptions since week 10 behind only Travis Kelce. So we're talking about, oh, like which wide receiver is going to hit for the Chiefs? It's Jerick McKinnon. Like, that's the guy who's actually hitting and benefiting from none of these really receivers besides Juju stepping up consistently. So yes, McKinnon, definitely an RB1. I think Pacheco does fall at least into the RB2 territory.
McKinnon, Moss, and Singletary are in, but who is out at RB for you this week? Derek Brown.
Deontay Foreman. And I know we talked about this. Twitter doesn't want to hear about it, but the Detroit Lions are not a good run defense to go against. We've seen Deontay Foreman disappear over multiple weeks where he can't even sniff 12 plus touches. He's not getting these 100-yard games. He's basically an albatross for your lineup. So, yeah, ECR has him at RB36. I cannot even for the life of me possibly get my head around putting my lineup like Deontay Foreman as an RB3, not against a run defense that since, let me see, let's go back. Okay, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Ooh, since week 8, the Lions are 10th in rushing success rate, and they have allowed the fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. I don't want the early down grinder. I want nothing to do with the Carolina backfield. Like, I'll have Foreman and Chuba Hubbard ranked below consensus this week.
All right. Let's go to the next guy on the list here. Can't argue with the Foreman one. Who is number two on the list of guys you can't start at RB in week 16?
I've talked about him in numerous weeks, and look, the guy has been playing good. He's been getting a lot of volume, and since week 10, he's the RB 20 in fantasy. But I cannot, for the life of me, want to play Brian Robinson this week. I've got him at RB 37, so again, an RB 4 where ECR has been RB 30, and this all comes down to guys like San Francisco run defense. San Francisco run defense since week 10. They are top 10, top three in numerous rushing defensive metrics. And I know we got on here on the podcast and talked about, okay, play Kenneth Walker and things like that. And I was like, oh, he's a top 15, top 20 back. And now I'm throwing it out there. Okay, sit this running back versus the San Francisco run defense. And that's because we know that Brian Robinson's not going to run routes. He's not going to get pass game involvement. If anything, that's going to be Antonio Gibson. And Brian Robinson's not even close, like not even in the same area code as Kenneth Walker as an elusive runner and tackle breaking machine. So yeah, I don't want anything to do with the Washington Commanders rushing attack going against the 49ers this week.
I was cautiously optimistic for Walker last week and it did not work out. And Walker, a better talent, I think we could all agree, than Brian Robinson. Mm-hmm. Not a knock on Brian Robinson or certainly the offense, the quarterback play, and everything is going on in Washington right now, but it is a tough sell to get Brian Robinson in this lineup at all for me. I'm 100% with you. He's like my number one sit guy. How do you feel about this, Andrew Erickson, about Brian Robinson or anybody running the football against the San Francisco 49ers in week 16?
Yeah, I don't want any part of Brian Robinson. He's still losing out on snaps to Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson played more snaps than he did last week. And if you just look at Brian Robinson, he's a game script dependent running back. So he needs to be playing with a lead for him to benefit. You're just looking at his splits over the last couple of weeks. In the last two games that the Commanders have lost, not tied, lost, he's averaged just 12 and a half carries and 8 fantasy points per game. And it's vastly different than in games where they win. And a 7-point road dogs, look, I just don't think the Commanders are going to win this game. So that means it's not going to be a great fantasy outing for Mr. Brian Robinson.
All right, let's move on to wide receiver. Before we do, just a reminder, we have that matchup tool available over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. All you have to do is just sync your league. Again, you do it for free over and just download the app for My Playbook over on the Apple or Google Play Store. Use the matchup tool. That way you can check out both you and your opponent's optimal lineups and your win probability, because some of these sites don't necessarily give you the best version of that. But we do, and it's free with the matchup tool at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. All right, wide receivers, Andrew Erickson. We're going to get to those in a second. Let's play a little who should I start at RB, though, before we do. Let's do DeAndre Swift or Rashad White. Rashad White has a matchup against Arizona, but the last couple weeks have not been great still in that committee. Derek Brown, you mentioned about no injury tag for DeAndre Swift. So is Mr. Swift getting the nod against Carolina this week or Rashad White?
Oh, Mr. Swift is getting the nod. Mr. Swift is finding his way all the way to my top 20 running backs for the week. So yes, this is going to be easy DeAndre Swift over Rashad White.
It's Swift for me too, Andrew. You want to sweep it with DeAndre?
Yes, I will also go with DeAndre Swift. I have to make this exact decision in one of my leagues, and I was going back and forth, and I kind of looked more into it, and I think, yes, Swift makes the most sense here. Rashad White lost out on a lot of work last week to Leonard Fournette, and you don't know. Like, this is going to be a game where the Buccaneers actually are winning, and they don't actually have to, like, check the ball down a million times to the running back, so that favors Fournette and not really Rashad White.
Okay, so DeAndre Swift is in. Let's try to hit up that other RB. Jamal Williams, already Derek Brown sent some negative things there because he was so positive about Swift. So let's talk about him. Same matchup at Carolina, just like DeAndre, or A.J. Dillon, who's been oddly relevant the last few weeks, all of a sudden salvaging what was a disastrous fantasy season. If you had the guts to start in the last couple of weeks, he has got Miami. So positive and negative game script in here for A.J. Dillon and the Packers. But let's talk about this here, Erickson. Would you take Jamal Williams and hope for the touchdown, or are you taking A.J. Dillon in the recent run he's been on this week against Miami?
Well, I mean, I think they have very similar roles. I mean, they both got to score. They both got to score touchdowns. And Joe, who has better offense, Lions or Packers?
Lions. That would be the Lions, sir.
So I'm going with Jamal.
Okay. All right. Simple as that. Derek Brown, do you echo those sentiments?
I'm actually going to leave with A.J. Dillon on this one. And this comes down to you're looking at their roles in their respective offenses. I know Jamal Williams is not going to catch passes at all. And A.J. Dillon has been catching passes. And the reason this is so relevant is that because over the last 5 weeks, you have a Miami defense that is allowing the most receptions per game and second most receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. So Dylan's been putting it up, man, like 15 touches per game since week 12. And I mean, his last three finishes, he's RB13, RB6, RB9. I'm going to roll with the hot hand with AJ Dylan.
I'll break the tie. I'm also going to go with AJ Dylan because of his receptions. He's averaging 3.5 basically over the last 3 weeks. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's points and it's more opportunity. I know he's got a touchdown in each one of those games too. He's got 4 in total, but that's not even the reason. If you take those touchdowns away in PPR, he's still got double digit points in all those weeks. Whereas you can't say the same thing about Jamal Williams. He is even more touchdown dependent. So I'm going to go with AJ Dylan also. So by the way, for the record, ECR is going with Jamal Williams, 67% to 33. So DeAndre and Williams both won, but we like DeAndre and AJ Dylan overall here as the pros. So Erickson, wide receiver time. Let's go. Who are the guys you want to start at wide receiver in week 16? And I love we are kicking things off because this is my dude this week too.
Going with wide receiver DJ Moore. He's ECR wide receiver 25 because people are afraid of Sam Darnold. I have him at wide receiver 14. Look, we know he can be a wide receiver one. He just has to get some volume in a good matchup. And that's exactly what's going to happen here against the Lions. Second most fantasy points in receiving yards allowed to wide receivers since week 6. And I think that what's being overlooked, obviously Sam Darnold, not a great real life quarterback, but he's going to benefit from having a positive offensive line blocking matchup this week. You know, per the 33rd team's trenches matchup tool, second best pass blocking matchup. So from a clean pocket, Sam Darnold can be good enough. Second highest yards per attempt this season without facing pressure. Finished last week 6th in passing EPA. So if you like DJ Moore, you have to like the quarterback somewhat. So I think Sam Darnold can get it done with DJ Moore. So high on him this week.
Love this. I'm even playing Sam Darnold in the Superflex League for a very, very important matchup there. So I don't care. Like, I think they're going to throw the ball on the Lions because they have no choice, really. You mentioned about it before. You can't run against the Lions anymore. Can't do it. You got to throw the football. I know it might not be pretty all the time for Sam Darnold, but I think it's going to be pretty for DJ Moore and enough to get me by, hopefully, this horrible Superflex Week 16. Oh, horrible. Nick Foles, Gardner Minshew. What's the world coming to? Number two on Andrew Erickson's list of wide receivers for Week 16. Who is it?
Darius Slayton. I like him for the New York Giants going up against the Minnesota Vikings. He is wide receiver 30 in my rankings, ECR wide receiver 30 as well. Look, he finished last week second in the team in targets with 7, just behind Saquon Barkley with 23% target share. I know that the final stat line wasn't great with 5 catches for 23 yards, but he's still the clear alpha in this offense. He ran around 100% of the dropbacks. So I think that puts him in the wide receiver 3 territory. Minnesota, we know, has been a defense we've been picking on with wide receivers. They've allowed the most wide receivers most fantasy points to wide receivers since week 6. Specifically, the most two perimeter wide receivers, where we know Darius Slayton lines up the most. So I think that Slayton the last couple of weeks, he still lead the team in targets. He's still the number one guy. And Daniel Jones is a top 12 quarterback in ECR. So, okay, that means we must like his number one wide receiver, which I think is clearly Darius Slayton. I think in deep performance, like Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins are interesting. I think Slayton is still the guy I have the most confidence rolling out this week.
I agree. Slayton not been great lately, but as good as Hodgins has been, I think Slayton can be that this week against the Minnesota Vikings as well. Certainly can throw the ball in the Vikings. We all know that. All right, last one here, the guys we feel good about starting, and this is guy probably plucked off the waiver wire, certainly has an opportunity with Tyler Lockett out. It's Marquise Goodwin. Talk about him, Andrew Erickson.
Yeah, no, I really like Marquise Goodwin this week. He did pop on the injury report on Wednesday, so just kind of keep tabs on that. But if he's healthy and out there, I really think he's a great play this week. I have him wide receiver 32. He's ECR wide receiver 42. I just expect him to take on a bigger role with Tyler Lockett unlikely to play. He saw a big role last week, ran a route in 65% of the dropbacks. He saw 5 targets. He only caught 2 passes. But in back-to-back games now, he's had at least 5 targets. In the games that he played where we saw DK Metcalf either limited or not playing the entire game, he scored 4 touchdowns, total 200 receiving yards with a 14% target share. So we've already seen him be productive when another guy has missed. And when he's had opportunities in the passing game, he's been super efficient. Second on the Seahawks in receiving EPA. He has the highest passer rating when generated this season at 150.5 among all wide receivers with at least 30 targets. He also ranks first in catch rate against man coverage this season. And the Kansas City Chiefs run a lot of man coverage. So if the Chiefs are going to be putting up points against the Seahawks defense, which is definitely going to happen. I think Goodwin is going to be very surprisingly efficient for you in your fantasy lineup. I know the weather is going to be very cold in Kansas City, but not windy. And windy is really what you're more afraid of in these cold weather games.
Yesterday, we had Chris Raybon and Matthew Friedman on the program, and we talked a lot about the big splash play, the speed of Marquise Goodwin, and that, you know, that one big play is really all he needs to return fantasy value. Do you think the Chiefs offer that in Week 16, Derek Brown?
I absolutely do. I mean, you're looking at a secondary since Week 10. Kansas City is 24th in fantasy points per game and 26th in catch rate allowed to wide receivers. We've already seen massive upside games from Marquise Goodwin. He's got two wide receiver one finishes on his resume already at wide receiver 6 and wide receiver 11 this year. So we're talking about a consolidated passing attack versus a secondary that has been bad outside of Trent McDuffie. And this is a high total possible shootout game. Yeah, I love Marquise Goodwin this week.
All right, so Goodwin in, Slayton in, Moore in. Let's talk about the guys who are out potentially. Andrew Erickson, I know it's tough here to look at some of these names, especially some big ones, but there's one here at the top, actually two here that you highlighted today that really you should think twice about.
Amari Cooper is riding the bench this week. I'm sorry. You cannot play this guy. He is wide receiver 25 in the ECR. It's actually moving down. I think it's actually like wide receiver 29. It just continues to move down. Now, the first thing I want to bring up is the weather in this game. Like, the weather in Cleveland is actually going to be horrible. Now, it could change, but the forecast has not changed in the last couple of days, so I expect it to be horrible. Single digits. Wind chill is going to make it feel like negative 14 degrees with winds up to 27 miles per hour. Like, this is the worst situation you could put a guy like Amari Cooper, who traditionally does not play well in bad weather. Like, I was fading Cooper a lot in the offseason because I was like, this guy sucks outside. Like, he's so great in these dome environments and he's horrible outdoors. I can just imagine the camera panning towards Amari Cooper on the sideline, you know, with this giant coat on, with his hands in the hand warmer, just looking absolutely miserable with his stat line 0-0-0. Like, I want no part of Amari Cooper, and that's just the weather kind of analysis, but just based on what he's even done on the field over the last 3 weeks, when Deshaun Watson has taken over as quarterback, he has yet to finish better than wide receiver 44, despite the fact that he leads the team in targets with a 26% target share, averaging 3 catches for 47 yards on 7 targets per game. The Browns are going to pound the rock in this game because no one wants to tackle Nick Chubb when it feels like negative 14 degrees outside. So I think that you just can't play any pass catcher confidently in this game, except maybe the tight ends, because those guys are going to see more underneath targets. But Amari Cooper last week in a game that we saw some weather, he had 40 air yards and led the team. So the Browns are more than happy to have Deshaun Watson not necessarily attack downfield if the weather does not call for it. I mean, he had a 4.6 average depth of target last week. It was horrible. So Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, like, you got to get away from these Browns receivers.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about FanDuel. New FanDuel Sportsbook players, your day is about to get 20% better. The sporting calendar couldn't be more packed at FanDuel Sportsbook, and they're providing you with a great new offer when you sign up at FanDuel through FanDuel.com/FPSBK. That's FanDuel.com/FPSBK. And upon your sign up, each new user will receive a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. And that's a big time 2-for-1 deal from both ourselves at Fantasy Pros and our partners at FanDuel. They've got same game parlays, tons of new markets, NBA, NHL, NFL, the playoffs around the corner, and a whole lot more. So now is the time to start placing your bets and experience season long wins without the season long waits. Sign up at FanDuel Sportsbook and receive a no sweat first bet up to $2,500 by heading to FanDuel.com/FPSBK. That's FanDuel.com/FPSBK. Age and location restrictions apply. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 30 days. And now, back to the action. All right. Next one on the list that you have to sit in Week 16 is
Marquise Brown. Hollywood Brown for the Arizona Cardinals up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Marquise Brown has gotten 8 targets in his last 3 games, which you think would be good. No, and it has not really translated into really much any fantasy production worthwhile. Wide receiver 52, wide receiver 56, wide receiver 64 in his last 3 games. 23% target share, 34 receiving yards per game, 4.5 receptions per game. He has a floor, I guess. He's playing in a dome and they're probably going to have to throw a lot, but look, I'm just not excited to play Marquise Brown with Trace McSorley as his quarterback. He saw 1 target last week from McSorley. So a lot of these numbers are with Kyler Murray and Colt McCoy. So he could see even less targets with a new quarterback under center. So it's just a situation you just want to avoid.
I gotta tell you, I'm right there with you. If I'm playing a Marquise this week, it's Goodwin. Mm-hmm. It's not Brown. And that's the bottom line. Your thoughts here on both of these big name wide receivers here, Derek Brown, because Erickson lays out a path where neither of them are guys you want in your lineup this week.
I mean, I'm hand holding here. I love the calls of Marquise Brown and Amari Cooper because I've got major concerns. I mean, we're going to talk about Amari Cooper a little bit more later in the show, but yes, I'm firmly off the Cooper train. And Marquise Brown, I mean, Erickson hit the nail on the head. I mean, do we really want, like, I'm worried about Trace McSorley supporting DeAndre Hopkins, much less like second and third wide receiver.
I'm
going to stop
that.
Like,
I'm worried about Trace McSorley and just put a period at the end of it, I think.
I mean, he can get volume. He's been getting volume and he's done nothing with it. So now we're talking about a further downgrade of quarterback play. Yeah. Good luck, Marquise. Good luck.
Yeah. All right. Let's play a little Who Should I Start again? FantasyPros.com/start. Free comparison tool. It's amazing. They revamped it in the middle of the season. Our amazing tech team. So good. It'll tell you who you should start, what the experts say. Let's see what the experts say about this one here. The ones in the show and the ones on FantasyPros.com. Devonta Smith or Mike Evans? Mike Evans had a decent game last week. It's certainly a positive matchup for him this week against Arizona, but they could have a lead and sit on it, not have to push the football. Oh, so many frustrations. Or Devonta Smith with Gardner Minshew playing quarterback against the Dallas Cowboys. Your thoughts, Andrew Erickson, if you have to choose between Devonta Smith and Mike Evans, who is it?
I got these guys ranked back-to-back, so I think that it's close. And I think both guys are still wide receiver two plays this week, so I think both can be started. But I will lean towards Mike Evans here slightly. Just haven't seen Gardner Minshew play with Devonta Smith. Just there's that extra layer of variance that you're adding starting Smith with a quarterback you've never seen him play with before. So I think that's kind of a big question mark.
Did they not play together last year? They were together last year. Or was Smith hurt for those games?
Minshew only played one game, and he played it without Dallas Goedert. Remember, had the massive game.
Right, it was that massive game.
Yeah,
I remember because I had to stream Gardner Minshew last year.
I remember because Gardner Minshew.
And I was very happy that day.
Gardner Minshew won me a lot of money in DFS that day. I was very happy.
All right, so Mike Evans for you.
Yeah, I think Mike Evans, just because, look, the guy's got to have, he's going to score, is he not going to score ever again? Like, is he never going to catch another touchdown? Like,
well, it's funny you brought up the Dallas Goedert thing with him being back this week, too. That makes him maybe somebody, Derek Brown, I have to talk about tomorrow on the DFS show again, remind everybody. So Mike Evans or Devonta Smith for you, D-Bro, which way are you going?
It's funny because Erickson brings up the right back-to-back in rankings, and I have them hugged up right next to each other as well. I just have Devonta Smith one spot ahead of Mike Evans. And this comes down to what we saw the last time that the Eagles played the Dallas Cowboys. And what I thought was going to happen last week, assumption of rational coaching, why the Dallas Cowboys decided to let Zay Jones just run wild and not shadow him with Trevion Diggs is beyond me. But going back to the assumption of rational coaching, Trevion Diggs shadowed A.J. Brown the last time these two teams met. I think we could see a repeat of that. If that is going to be the case, then Devonta Smith is one going to get in loose and probably Gardner Minshew's top target this week outside of maybe a rendezvous with Dallas Goedert. So I'm going to lean with Slim Reaper here.
I'm going to break the tie with Mike Evans. And I can't believe the guy that I wanted to sit last week is the guy that I'm picking this week. But I don't care. This is business. This isn't personal. It's against the Arizona Cardinals. That's it. At the end of the day, if there's one team that has to and should, even if they have a lead, continue to push the football and score points, it's the Bucs. You know why? They need the practice at it because it's been so bad this year. So, yes, Mike Evans this week, and hold your breath. Amari Cooper or Michael Pittman? Now, I know this one sounds pretty easy, but Pittman also has now Nick Foles to throw him the football. So a little change in dynamic here. Maybe this was easier a couple days ago to answer this question than it is now. So Derek Brown, Michael Pittman against the Los Angeles Chargers, or Amari Cooper in the negative sub 14 heavy coat wearing game against the New Orleans Saints in Cleveland.
I want nothing to do with Cleveland pass catchers, people catching targets and passes from Deshaun Watson, because he has been absolutely terrible. And I'm not telling you Nick Foles is that much better, but I believe in Michael Pittman's target share week to week. We know that we can't count on deep targets or anything, or even red zone usage for Michael Pittman. But what I can count on is target share and receptions. I think that's still going to happen. And the Chargers secondary of the last few weeks has not been good. So give me Pittman here.
Okay. So Pittman for you. I'm going to make it 2-for-2 with Pittman. How about you, Erickson? You want to sweep it?
Give me the dome for Michael Pittman. That's where he's playing. Give me BDN at quarterback. Let's go, Michael Pittman.
All right. Give me fuel. Give me fire. Give me that which I desire. Just so you know, Michael Pittman, trailing Amari Cooper in the ECR here, 54% to 46%. So we think that's wrong. Devonta Smith, 69% over Mike Evans, 31%. So obviously, ECR telling me and Debro that we're wrong, but we shall see at the end of the day, right? actually, wait a minute, right? It was you were the Mike Evans guy with me, right, D? Yeah.
No, I was voting Mike Evans.
No, that was Erickson. No. I'm pushing back against both of you. Erickson, this week.
Forget that Derek Brown guy. You and me are friends. That guy's terrible. All right, let's go to the next.
Immediately. Wow. You hate to see it. You do.
By the way, speaking of touchdowns, which is something that Mike Evans hasn't scored since, I don't know, week four. Where are we here?
Last Christmas?
Yeah, seriously. I want a touchdown for Mike Evans for Christmas. That's what I want. Touchdown call contest still going on. FantasyPros.com/chat on our Discord. Again, it's free to join Discord, but if you're premium and you want to have some fun, maybe you got eliminated last week from the playoffs and you just want something to do this weekend that's football related, well, call some touchdowns. Touchdown call channel is there for you. $25 gift certificate goes right to you. You can go and spend in our Fantasy Pro shop, get yourself a hat, t-shirt, a hoodie, something fun for the holidays. So go check it out again. The touchdown call channel is there on Discord, fantasybros.com/chat. Quarterbacks, it's getting slim pickings here. Let's talk about QB1. Again, plus matchup here for Tom Brady. And this is the second week in a row now we've chosen Tom Brady. So I got to still look at this picture of Tom Brady, which is still very concerning here.
So it's creepy.
Very upsetting. It's like the hair and the face and the whole thing just doesn't look right. Something's off about this. It's very unsettling. And then there's Jared Goff, who might be the definition of unsettling in the last couple of years. But for some reason, I don't know, I'm falling into a very comfortable pattern here with Jared Goff and this Detroit Lions offense. They're playing Carolina. The matchup arguably even better for Tom Brady. Erickson, where are you going to go? Tom Brady or Jared Goff this week in week 16 to take you to the finals?
I'm going with Tom Brady. I think that Jared Goff is, yeah, he's been good, but he just doesn't play nearly as well when he plays on the road, especially outdoors when it's cold out. And Carolina doesn't have wind or anything, but it's still going to be cold, like basically everywhere on the East Coast where Tom Brady's playing in Arizona in a dome. Like, I think with a lot of start decisions you can make this week, just look at where they're playing. If they're playing indoors, you're just going to see more favorable game environments versus playing in the freezing cold. It's just not conducive for fantasy scoring for the most part. So I think Brady's the pick here.
All right. Same for you, Derek Brown. Is it Brady over Goff?
Is anybody else get the sneaking suspicion of like Tom Brady looks like one of those like paintings out of a haunted mansion? Like everywhere you go, the eyes just kind of follow you as you move.
It's like that in the picture, or it's one of those weird AI things that everybody's doing on social media. Like AI quality. Like maybe he's been doing it all along, and we're finally now finding that technology after all these years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm burying the lead. I'm going to go with the haunted mansion.
Tom Brady. 3 for 3, Tom Brady gets the nod over Jared Goff. It's close, though. 62% of experts also agree with us. Let's talk about the other side of quarterback. Ugh, it is rough out there. More quarterbacks to come later in the show, too. But we got Mac Jones here against the Cincinnati Bengals. 54%. Hopefully he can get up off the floor. Maybe he's still there after Chandler Jones planted him into the ground in Vegas last week. Or Taylor Heinicke against the San Francisco 49ers. That's what's become of us here in Superflex, boys, where these are actually some decent options compared to what else is out there. So Mac Jones or Taylor Heinicke. Derek Brown, you kick us off with this one.
I'm going to go Taylor Heinicke because, one, we talked about Brian Robinson and the Commanders rushing attack. They're not going to go anywhere this week. And I am, you know, a little bit of a tease. I'm going to bring up a Commanders wide receiver. So if I'm in on one of the Commanders wide receivers, Taylor Heinicke goes along for the ride. Yeah, I'm going to go Heinicke here.
You kind of said it like a question at the end. Goes along for the ride? I don't know if you believe in that.
I do. Pretty confidently.
See, the voice went up again. See? Sure. He's a wonderful option. Mm-hmm. Well, not Mac Jones isn't pretty either. He's got 15 points in his last two games. And looking back at Taylor Heinicke's game log, he has 18 points and 13 points. So, Erickson, where are you going? Heinicke or Mac Jones?
I'm 100% playing Taylor Heinicke. He runs more than Mac Jones does. He has better weapons than Mac Jones does. And he will have, in my opinion, I think a more favorable script for scoring fantasy points because I think the 49ers are going to put up points against Washington and they're going to force them to throw. Where the Patriots are playing at home, they can keep the game a little bit more competitive between the Bengals. And they're just going to be, the Patriots just want to make games gross and win 10-7. Like that's what they want to do on offense because their offense is just horrible. So I'll go with Washington here with Taylor Heinicke.
3 for 3. Can't believe we've come to this, but we have. And Mac Jones is ahead of him in the ECR. And Mac Jones, 54% to 46 over Heinicke. But I'm with you guys. A little desperation sounds like better fantasy points to me. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Med Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Med Care Network provides its members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind for you and your family. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to $50 in a Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Med Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. Let's go to tight ends of the week. Fun fact, last night I was on stages talking with some folks about different tight end options, and one person said, well, I got Mark Andrews, I can't take him out. And I was like, really? You can't? I think you can. Because looking at the last good game he had since week 7, he is tight end 22. I don't think he's healthy. Just throwing this out there to people. If you're still alive with Mark Andrews and there's somebody out there who has more touchdown equity and a better matchup or indoors or all the things we're talking about, I don't think Mark Andrews is a lock play. I just want to get your take on that, guys. Derek, what do you think about that? Do you think I'm out of my mind here? I know you play your studs, you play your best players, but he hasn't played or looked well in a long time.
No, I mean, I think that's totally fine. I mean, I think that at this point of the season, it's not only... I agree a lot with start your studs, but we also have to look at matchups and we also have to look at recent weeks. So I don't think that Mark Andrews is a lock play either. Like, I mean, there's so many other tight ends that have kind of come up, whether it's like you're going to play Evan Ingram over him, you're going to play one of the tight ends I'm going to talk about over him.
Yeah, I mean, Jawan Johnson's another guy that continues to, you know, and that was the whole point. Like he said, look, this is my lineup. And I said, look, if you've got Mark Andrews, I don't think that's a lock. I'm like, who else can you start? He's like, well, Jawan Johnson's out there. I think I'd rather have my chance.
I would start Jawan.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think that's crazy talk. Erickson, do you think that's crazy? I mean, I understand we want to play the talented players, but when a guy's been hurt, when a guy's playing with a backup quarterback, when it just hasn't worked for a long sample size, this isn't 2 weeks. This is 2 months. What do you think?
I mean, I'm going to still play Mark Andrews because I know that he hasn't been healthy, but you know, we see this a lot of times with these stud players. I mean, Ramondre, we didn't know if he was healthy either. And when did he go out? He went out and balled out. Like, some of these guys overcome the injury. He's another week removed from whenever he was dealing with his injury. He does have a really good matchup this week against the Falcons. The Falcons have been shutting down wide receivers, been bleeding production to tight ends. They just lost Devin Duvernay. Like, who else are they going to go to? Like, there's literally
Huntley's
else
had
left.
A hard time throwing the football to anybody. Let's be honest.
But all we've seen it before with Huntley. Like, I know it hasn't transpired this season, but it's not like we've never seen Mark Andrews be good with Tyler Huntley before. And Lamar can come back.
Of course, we have.
So that's another factor, too.
I just wanted to have that conversation because that was an important one. D-Bro, give me your streaming tight end of the week for week 16.
I mean, if he's out there in the waiver wire, which is absolutely possible, I think that you need to strongly consider Taysom Hill. And I did not think in week 16 I'd be sitting here talking about, yes, you need to be starting Taysom Hill. But we're talking, I mean, Erickson just brought it up. The weather in that game is going to be terrible. Everything leans into the Saints wanting to keep the ball on the ground. I have Taysom Hill inside of my top 5 tight ends for the week. We're looking at a guy that's consistently involved in the red zone for the Saints. He's consistently playing over 40% of the snaps. And whether he's going to do it with rushing attempts, because we've seen massive rushing games from him, whether he's going to throw the ball, catch the ball, there are a lot of different outlets for Taysom Hill. And I have not been a Taysom Hill supporter as far as playing him at tight end for most of this season. But considering how this game kind of lays itself out, the weather, the matchups, and Cleveland can't stop anybody on the ground, yeah, I think this could be a huge Taysom Hill week.
You know, I agree. I brought it up Monday on the Waiver Wire show. He was my favorite tight end to add. All right, Erickson, give me a tight end you want to stream in week 16. Who is it?
I'm looking at, I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but desperate times call for desperate measures. Daniel like Bellinger. Call. For the New York Giants, I have him at tight end 17. He's ECR tight end 26. So he's basically buried across the board. He's available everywhere. But he's a tight end that has a rare role in an offense that he plays on every single down. He ran a route on 97% of the Giants' dropbacks last week. That's the highest among all tight ends. Like, that's elite level usage, better than Travis Kelce, better than Mark Andrews. So yeah, he hasn't really turned it into anything worthwhile, but he's playing the Vikings. Like, the Vikings have one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. Now, it's not particularly like tight ends that are beating them. There's no specific stat that calls out, oh, it's a great tight end matchup, but just a general, the Giants should be able to move the ball on offense. And if they're in the red zone, then Daniel Bellinger becomes a target for Daniel Jones in the red zone. So I think Daniel Bellinger, this game is in a dome. This is another game where you want pieces. You want to play Giants. You want to play Vikings. It's in a dome. Like, it's a game where you could see a lot of points. And I think just chasing a total with tight ends is a strategy that usually works out more often than not. So Daniel Bellinger is my my streaming tight end.
Okay, let's play a little who should I start here at tight end. Greg Dulcich against the Rams or Juwan Johnson against the Cleveland Browns. Let's go. You know where I stand on this one. It's Juwan Johnson. I'm sick and tired of the Denver Broncos. Derek Brown, what do you want to do here? Dulcich or Juwan?
I actually, and this is gross, but I like Dulcich this week, but I'm still going to lean with Juwan. I mean, the guy is on an absolute heater for touchdowns. He's basically this year's Robert Tonyan. He has been fantastic at every single turn. So we're talking about bad weather conditions. Chris Olave has also dealing with a hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. So we could see also the elevation of Juwan Johnson a little bit further up for targets this week. So yeah, I'll go with Juwan.
Between injuries, weather, backup, second string, third string quarterbacks, you're going to see a lot of ugly scores this week, folks. Mm-hmm. Get your points. Forget your upside. Get points this week. That's what Uncle Joe's telling you. Go get your points. Andrew Erickson, Dulcich, Juwan Johnson. What do you want to do here?
Yeah, it's close for me, but if Courtland Sutton comes back, like, that's just another player Greg Dulcich is competing for targets with, which is really frustrating. We saw, and the Rams matchup is good, but Dulcich is still so inconsistent, even with a very great role. Juwan Johnson's role is not great in his offense either, but he also had a 32% target share last week because when he's running a route, like, they're trying to throw him the ball, especially when they're in the red zone. So I guess I'm going to go with Juwan here. You could see him having a role where they get him the ball underneath as a tight end. I know he's like a larger average depth of target than most tight ends. They do like to use him down the field, but they won't be able to do that in this particular matchup in Cleveland. But I think you just got to stay in the flames. I mean, when they're in the red zone, that's what they're looking for. And I think that they will be able to move the ball against, you know, we talked about the Browns defense is not a defense that really can stop a lot of offenses in general.
All right. Before we move the ball forward, if you love our show, and I know you do because you're still listening to it, and it's week 16, if you've been with us the whole season, we want to hear from you how to make it even better. So go to fantasypros.com/survey. We appreciate all of you who've been with us all year, all the listens, all the downloads, all the views on YouTube. You guys have been amazing. So head over to fantasypros.com/survey, give your feedback. And if you do, there's going to be fabulous prizes because that's what we do here at Fantasy Pros. So everyone who responds will be entered into a giveaway raffle. And the prizes for premium subscriptions, potentially, to Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, along with gift cards to our online store and a whole lot more. Again, fantasypros.com/survey. Make your voice heard. It's that time again. It's time for the sleeper starts of the week and the sits of the week as well.
Starts and sits of the week.
So sleeper, the best place to play your fantasy football. Y'all know that by now. So I'm going to start with my start of the week, DJ Moore. Let's go. I haven't felt this good about starting DJ Moore since, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. But I feel great about it this week. I've got him in lineups, got him in DFS. I'm a fan. Andrew Erickson gave you the whole spiel about why. So DJ Moore goes in your lineup this week against the Lions because the Lions, you can throw the ball on them all day long. D-Bro, who you got as your must start of the week?
I'm going with Andrew Erickson here, a guy that I love this week. I love the scoring environment and the secondary can be beat all over the field. Darius Slayton, baby. I think it's going to be a massive game for him. I know he has no red zone equity to speak of, but it doesn't matter. You don't need red zone targets when you catch the deep ones and you go for long touchdowns. So let's go, Darius Slayton.
All right, Darius Slayton, DJ Moore, Erickson, who's starting this week?
Love the confirmation bias from you guys. Absolutely.
What we try to do.
I'm going to go with J.K. And Dobbins here.
Just so you know, I mean, I had DJ Moore before we even saw this show sheet, but that's
okay. Well, I don't go to the bottom. It's a surprise.
I don't like, read the thing.
I wonder if they agree with me or if they're going against my picks here. So every time it's like matches up, I'm like,
but it's so funny because all year we've been doing this and it's so funny when we get to this part, we're all pretty much in lockstep, which I think has been really solid. So it tells you everyone's coming from a different process and we're getting to the same place. That's usually something you should pay attention to. That's why we're still here in week 16 talking to all of you. All right, Erickson, who you got?
J.K. Dobbins. He was taken off the injury report on Wednesday, so you're feeling good about his health. He's been averaging a crisp over 8 yards per carry in his last two games, and I know that he's looked kind of not great necessarily in some of these longer runs, but he's still ripping them off consistently. So J.K. Dobbins up against the Atlanta Falcons. Sign me up.
Love it. I like Algier in that game, too. A lot of running the football. Lots of running the football in that one. All right. The sits of the week. It's Brian Robinson. I also had Alan Lazard on here, too, but I decided to just talk more about Brian Robinson. I'd sit Lazard also. It's just not happening anymore for him. But I give you a 2-for-1. Brian Robinson against 49ers. Mm-mm. No Ken Doosville, baby. Can't go there. D-Bro, who you got the sit of the week? Who do you have?
Again, this is Derrickson approved. Amari Cooper. Want nothing to do with him this week. Deshaun Watson's been playing terrible. You have all these beautiful and wonderful usage metrics for Amari Cooper since Deshaun Watson's come back. He has done squidoosh, nothing. Squat, nothing at all with it.
Squidoosh. That almost sounds like a Brooklyn word from like one of my uncles would say. Hey, what are you doing? You're not doing squidoosh. Why don't you get over here and give me a cup of coffee or something? Huh?
Shout out to Kung Fu Panda, baby.
Squidoosh. Is that where it's from? Squidoosh? Yeah. I never saw
it. I thought it was Skidoosh.
Well, okay. Skidoosh? All right, let's go.
I don't know.
I just messed it up. So I made my own term out of
it. It also sounds like a pastry.
Rewind.
give me three Napoleons and give me half a dozen Squidooshes. I want some of those too. throw them in there. All right. Erickson, what do you got for the sins of the week?
Going to the other side of that Brown Saints game with Chris Olave. I don't want to start Chris Olave for all the same reasons about the weather. Just don't expect a lot of passing in this game from the Saints side. And Olave has really cooled off over the last couple of weeks. The last 3 weeks, he's been outside the top 40 wide receivers. The Saints have shown over the last 2 weeks they want to run the football. They've thrown on early downs on just 43% of their plays in the last two games that they've played. And Olave got outsnapped by Rashid Shaheed last week. So he's not even getting like the wide receiver one treatment anymore in the Saints offense. And this was something about him just dating back to his Ohio State days. It's translated over to the NFL. He's not a yak guy. He doesn't make yards after the catch. It's not his game. And that does not play favorably in a matchup that he's not going to be able to win down the field. Like, you're not going to get splash plays from Olave when there's 27-mile-per-hour winds and Andy Dalton is your quarterback. Just not going to happen. So even if he's getting like a bubble screen here and there, I don't expect him to like rip off a massive gain. So he doesn't really have any high ceiling, and I really don't see a great floor for him either. So I would just kind of move away from Olave, who has really just kind of fizzled out ever since his hot start.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to, by the way, if Deshaun Watson can't play out in the elements, what a horrible decision the Browns franchise has made. Just putting that out there.
I think that he knew that, though, before he signed there. Like, he had a game a couple years ago.
He has
a
choice. Like, he has to go where he was going to pay him.
Cleveland that he was absolutely atrocious in. He was horrible in it, and he was like, I don't want to play in like Cleveland. That's why Mark Cooper didn't want to play in Cleveland, but they money talks,
baby. Money talks.
Flex appeal.
All right, flex appeal, guys. I'm back in the DJ Shark market. Let's go. Yeah. It's DJ time. All the DJs this week for me. Last week I told you not to do it because it was not a good situation against the Jets, but now it's safe to go out with all the DJs, more Shark, all of them. Go get the DJs in the lineup this week. Have yourself a party all the way to the playoff victory and then into the championship. D-Bro, flex appeal, dart throw of the week. Who you got?
I'm going to go a little bit off the page here. And this is not just because of looking at the last two games when he played the same secondary. I'm in a Jahan Dotson this week. I mean, we're looking at since week 13, he does have a 22% target share. But this comes down to the matchup, guys. So last week, Jahan Dotson saw a season high 43% of his snaps from the slot. That means he is going to get a good bit of Jimmy Ward this week, who cannot stop anybody. 82% catch rate, 96 passer rating. And you're looking at a 49ers defense since week 10 is allowing the 7th most fantasy points to opposing slot wide receivers. So I'm in on Jahan Dotson and the increased usage, as well as they're dealing with some injuries on the back end over there. Charvarius Ward is banged up. We could see Jackrabbit Jenkins out there, which if that's the case, good luck, Jackrabbit, trying to keep up with Jahan Dotson. So I like Jahan Dotson this week. And if he is not going to burn Jimmy Ward in the slot, then it'll be Curtis Samuel. So you get a twofer.
Nice. Anytime we get Jackrabbit in there, it's a good day. All right, Erickson, close us out. Who is the streaming flex appeal guy of the week for you?
Going with Chris Moore, going right back to the well here. He got the targets last week, did not deliver any fantasy points really, but he has a 39% target share in the last two games. So when the Texans decide to throw the ball, which they're going to have to against a Titans run defense that, look, Royce Freeman is not going to get it done here. So I think they're going to have to throw the football to try to keep up with King Henry himself, rushing for 300 yards. So I think Chris Moore is the guy. Nico Collins is still not practicing. Brandon Cooks is practicing in limited fashion, but I think he's just kind of like tapped out of the season. He's not actually going to play. So Chris Moore is wide receiver one on the Texans and should see plenty of volume. So I like him as a flex play.
If you need more help, go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook or download the My Playbook app. There's still time to help us help you with the matchup tool and all the amazing tools over on My Playbook. Go download it today. Also, don't forget, we want to hear your voice, fantasypros.com/survey, and you can make your voice heard and win some free stuff. How about that? We want everybody to go out there, have a wonderful holiday season. Enjoy your friends and family. Enjoy your football. Go win. Just win, baby. Next week, we'll be back to do it all again to get you that championship. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including FanDuel. Sign up at FanDuel Sportsbook and receive a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500 by heading to FanDuel.com/FPSBK. That's FanDuel.com/FPSBK. And don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FantasyPros. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on for Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown. I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.